For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we are counting down to debate night in America. Yes, excited? I'm excited. Are you excited? I'm excited. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, 855-839-1210, and on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. So, what have we learned about Kamala Harris? We've learned about Kamala Harris that, I mean, we already know that she was a total shell of a candidate. But what we've really learned, which I think is fascinating, is that their entire argument for how Kamala Harris has changed is she's seen the policies of Joe Biden and she is now moderated. Yes, Kamala Harris is a giant moderate now. This is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VeneriaDental.com. So they really, it's amazing how that CNN story that came out about how Kamala Harris supported gender reassignment surgeries for illegal immigrants, and now they're refusing to walk it back, So this is by far the greatest thing ever. Erin Burnett's face during this is just absolutely amazing. And Kamala Harris said she supported taxpayer-funded gender transition surgeries for detained immigrants, decriminalizing drug possession, and drastic cuts to ICE, along with a pledge to end immigrant detention. So this came out during the show yesterday, but the audio was not available because it hadn't happened yet in terms of the interview with Erin Burnett. But man, when this came out, holy cow. And this is a little bit from CNN.
Tonight, Kamala Harris releasing details of her policy positions for the first time on her campaign website. A K-File investigation has uncovered, meantime, a 2019 questionnaire. And in this questionnaire, Harris laid out some much more liberal stances, among them on immigration. So in 2019, in what K-File found, she said she would cut funding to ICE, writing, quote, "Our immigrant detention system is out of control, and I believe we must end the unfair incarceration of thousands of individuals, families, and children. I was one of the first senators after President Trump was elected to advocate for a decrease in funding to ICE." Well, now, of course, she's touting the Biden administration's executive order to crack down on the border. K-File's Andrew Kaczynski joins me now. Andrew, that's pretty incredible on its own when you're talking about what you found here on ICE. What else did you find?
Yeah, and this was a questionnaire that she filled out for the ACLU, and this questionnaire is really an interesting snapshot in time of that 2019 Democratic primary. Kamala Harris was trying to get to the left of Bernie Sanders. She was trying to get to the left of Elizabeth Warren, and you really see that in a lot of these answers, and I want to walk our viewers through a little bit of what she said. Let's just take immigration and look at what she said here. She said on immigration, she made this open-ended pledge to end immigrant detention. She said she supported taxpayer funded gender transition surgeries for detained migrants. She also said she
supported taxpayer-funded gender transition surgeries for detained migrants. She actually said she supported that.
She wrote and answered in the affirmative when she was asked this. Oh. And she said she also supported it for federal prisoners. Now, she also pledged to slash immigration detention by 50%, close all family and private facilities, and decrease funding for ICE, and then the end ICE detainers with local law enforcement.
I mean, these are things that, you know, it would be hard to think that you would come up with taxpayer mm-hmm. funding gender transitions for detained migrants. And yet this, as you say, written and verbally. Mm-hmm.
Written and verbally. As wacky as you can get. I mean, even Erin Burnett can't believe this. She's like, she actually said this stuff and they made her the nominee. They made her the Democrat nominee. Did they not vet this person? This is what Erin Burnett's thinking in her mind, because she certainly does not want Donald Trump to become president. You know what I mean? She does not want that, obviously. So in her mind, she's thinking to herself, wait. They let this whack job get the nomination over Joe Biden? Are you kidding me? Stop. You're kidding, right? They didn't really do that. Did they do that? That's that, and if you could read words, read minds, that's exactly what's going through her mind like this. All right, let's continue, shall we?
What else, did you find?
Well, let's take a look at her answer here on drugs. She got asked about, this, the question from the ACLU was, since drug use is better addressed as a public health issue through treatment and other programming, will you support the decriminalization at the federal level of all drug possession for personal use? And Harris answers yes. Now, what would that mean? Well, I mean, the federal, all drug possession, that's not just marijuana, which she alluded to in her answer to this question, but it also would mean,
federal level of all drug possession,
fentanyl, crack, cocaine, things like that. Yeah.
Have they responded to you on her changes on these issues?
So we did put this question to the Harris campaign about the entire ACLU questionnaire, and the Harris campaign didn't answer any questions from CNN. Instead, they just provided a statement from an unnamed Harris campaign advisor that just said, the vice president's positions have been shaped by 3 years of effective governance as part of the Biden-Harris administration. Now, they declined to CNN to elaborate on what those positions were. And then they also provided this statement, which they attributed to a spokesperson saying, as president, she will take that same pragmatic approach, focusing on common sense solutions for the sake of progress. So where does she stand on this all this questionnaire today? We don't know, and they won't say.
It's pretty incredible stuff. And thank you very much, Andrew K-File, for this reporting.
Even Erin Burnett is shocked by this. This is real. You're SME, right? You're SME. No, come on. Like, stop. That's not who they didn't know. Come on. Really? Stop. I mean, it's like what Bernie Sanders said over the weekend. Kamala Harris is a kook, all right? She's just playing a game right now. She's playing a game. She's really a kook, and the kook will come out. The kook will come out. Don't you worry. The kook will be real. There'll be real kookery. I'm amazed that this is their nominee, and I'm amazed too they went with Tim Walz, Tampon Tim. When they could have, they could have had, you think about it, a very moderate, at least viewed moderate, Josh Shapiro. I'm not saying Shapiro's a moderate. I'm saying he's viewed as a moderate. Certainly compared to Walz, he is, but that's how he's viewed. So Harris's campaign spokesperson refusing to walk back Kamala's support for taxpayer-funded transition surgeries of illegal immigrants. Okay? Here we go.
But I do want to ask you about this CNN report. It shows Harris voiced support for cutting funding for ICE and for using taxpayer money to fund transgender surgery for detained migrants in 2019. Does the vice president still support those positions, and do you expect her to address them tonight?
Listen, I think, these old questionnaires are a complete distraction from the task at hand right now. I think the vice president, frankly, what the American people are actually asking about, right? What the American people are concerned about and what they're asking about is who's going to solve for border security.
These questionnaires are irrelevant, okay? Please. This is all a waste of our time. We don't want to have to answer for her past kookery. And quite frankly, we're just shocked and appalled that CNN is doing this. CNN, you're supposed to be on our side, CNN, what are you doing? Who is this? Awkward. Now, I'll tell you something, though. The problem they have is that they were just stuck with Kamala Harris, and they thought, well, at least maybe it's better than Biden. Maybe we won't get slaughtered down ballot. But they never wanted Kamala Harris, and for all these reasons. She's a terrible candidate. She has no backbone, no soul. There's no authenticity to this candidate whatsoever. She also has rent controls as one of her policies. Did you know that rent control? Yeah, that's something we don't talk about enough. Rent control, which is a disaster. I mean, it sounds great. Look, it's one of those things in life where it sounds great. You're like, ooh, rent control. Yes. But the Wall Street Journal has a great piece on this, and they say, if you want to look at the effects of this, look to Argentina. And they say, when President Javier Milei assumed office in December of 2023, he inherited triple-digit inflation and a failing economy. His shock therapy plan to resuscitate the country included eliminating government jobs, contracts, and subsidies. Perhaps the most successful measure, however, was repealing a rent control law that the National Congress had passed in 2020. In a bid to provide renters more economic security, the statute locked landlords into tenant-controlled leases for a minimum of 3 years and capped rent. The consequences were swift and brutal. 45% of landlords reportedly elected to sell their properties. Many others either converted their units into Airbnb-type short-term rentals or increased rates prior to the law going into effect. The Cato Institute, which is a libertarian think tank, they said the average rent for a two-bedroom apartment in Buenos Aires rose from nearly 18,000 pesos a month at the end of 2019, right before the law went into effect, to, ready, wait for it, 334,000 pesos 4 years later, well beyond the 210,000 pesos a month if the rate had tracked inflation. Now, since the law's repeal, because Javier Milei is a beast. He's a beast. He's a free market beast. Supply has reportedly rebounded. Prices have fallen by double digits. See, Javier Milei knew that all these socialist ideas, capital control, rent control, all these things contributed to the problem of Argentina's economy. He said, ideas that have failed in Argentina have failed all over the planet. And nearly a century of case studies by economists such as Friedrich Hayek, Milton Friedman, and George Stigler have exposed rent control as destructive. Center-left economists have even agreed. Center-left. Jason Furman, who led Obama's Council of Economic Advisors, has said it has been about as disgraced as any economic policy in the toolkit. Opposition to rent control is about protecting people from unintended consequences, be it housing shortages, underinvestment, tenant discrimination, or failing property values. It understands that rent ceilings don't relieve housing shortages, they exacerbate them. Secured tenants in rent-controlled environments may not give up their units for decades, even after their needs have changed. Why the hell would you leave one? You know, in New York City has rent control apartments. There was even a joke at I remember the show Friends, which has not aged well. If you ever watch a rerun of that show, it has not aged well. But I guess at the time, if you were in college and you were watching it, and you know the women were incredibly attractive, and you know it was fine. But it has not aged well. But at the very end of that show, when that show was done, the season finale of Friends, they made a joke about having these incredible rent-controlled apartments. Because how could you have these beautiful, beautiful apartments that all these people who seemingly never really worked, they all hung around a coffee shop all day for the most part, how they were ever able to afford? But that's the thing about New York City. And rent control, people just don't leave. They just stay there. And there's supposed to be an order to things. You know, you go to an apartment and then you can afford a house, you go buy a house. And you can buy a bigger house, you buy a bigger house. And then in doing so, you free up inventory for other people. And that doesn't happen in these places. And so the other consequence is that the apartments that aren't rent controlled, since there's such limited supply and the demand is there, they go through the roof and people can't afford them. So find working class people that live in Manhattan. Good luck. They're all in the outer boroughs, or they're just out of New York City completely. For example, they can't afford it. But maybe they're living in, you know, far out Queens, far out Brooklyn, Bronx even, but they're not, they can't live in Manhattan. And a big part of the reason is rent control. Rent control advocates ignore economic fundamentals. And whenever there is a shortage of any product in a market economy, rationing will occur by price, which consumers determine via bidding. Everything that is not as abundant as air or sunlight, in a sense, will become rationed. If rationing isn't done by price, it will be done by force in the form of central planning. Now, the guy who wrote this is a senior policy analyst for the Mountain States Policy Center. It's a very good piece here. He says, Americans lose sight of this, and they decry steep increases in rent and evictions in the U.S. Yet their complaints ignore the effect of pandemic-era eviction moratoria, under which many landlords went months or years without being able to evict non-paying tenants. Once those restrictions were lifted, landlords raised prices to recoup costs, hedge against inflation, and deter squatters. Now, New Jersey had this problem. I have friends, they had squatters in this house over and over again, but I know friends who were landlords and they just said the tenants just stopped paying rent. During COVID and for years after, they just stopped. You couldn't get rid of them. They just took over. I mean, you have more rights as a tenant than you do as a landlord in most blue areas, in most blue states. And this is what Kamala Harris is proposing as part of her economic policies. I mean, she's a disaster. Everything from price controls to a deal with price gauging. Rental markets are complicated, he writes. Rent control proposals come in various forms and inflict various consequences. The more restrictive the policy, the more drastic the effects. In any iteration, though, it is arguably the worst solution for fixing the housing problem. As Swedish economist Asser Lindbeck observed, in many cases, rent control appears to be the most efficient technique presently known to destroy a city, except for bombing. Yeah, bombing works. I mean, it works better. I don't know if it works better. It's faster. You know, it's does a more thorough job, I guess you can say. No matter how many times we try, we can't outsmart economic first principles. That's what Kamala Harris wants to bring to America as part of her kookiness. But they don't want to. They don't want to say anything. You know, they don't want to turn around and say, "Hey, you know, Kamala Harris is a kook." They're just pretending like you just won't notice. But Donald Trump's going to make sure you notice. Oh yeah, Donald Trump is going to make sure that you notice. All right, coming up, the Love Gov Andrew Cuomo is in hot water as we get ready for debate night in America. He's in hot water. I'll tell you what, Professor, well, I'll tell you what Chairman Brad Wenstrup of the COVID Select Subcommittee had to say about the Love Gov, the nursing home killer. Remember, I call him that, the nursing home killer, because that's what he is. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You know, a long time ago, I dubbed Andrew Cuomo the nursing home killer, and I copyrighted that. The Love Gov, I can't take credit for, though, but he certainly was the Love Gov, no doubt about it, and the nursing home killer. I mean, so I groped her in the elevator. What are you going to do? And the lesser Cuomo would have him on his CNN show all the time, and the two of them would chat about Ma's meatballs, Ma liked me better than you, and that's how it is. But the whole time this was going on, where Cuomo was a hero, remember New York Stinks? Do you remember New York Stinks hand sanitizer? Now with more lilac. He had prisoners making hand sanitizer during COVID. Prison labor, the Love Gov. Prison labor. This is now New York Stinks. We're very happy now to roll out our dandelion collection. This is really beautiful. If you're up ever in an elevator groping up your Secret Service detail, your state police detail, smells masculine, smells creepy. And he was, of course, sentencing people to death in New York State nursing homes. Brett, we have the Love Gov theme, right? We have his theme? Yeah, we do. Oh, yeah. Made this years ago. Joe Sebelia made this for us years ago. Back when we were on Afternoons in the first iteration, actually.
Gov. Nipples pierced, not tattooed. His hot ex cooks delicious food. Oh, Gov is a bachelor, you know. All the chicks want to kiss Cuomo. The Love Gov, Mario's dreamboat Italian son. The Love Gov, not Chris Cuomo, the lesser one. It's Gov.
It's good. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. But he has to answer for being the nursing home killer in addition to being the Love Gov. Well, Chairman Brad Wenstrup of the COVID Select Subcommittee talked about Cuomo testifying on nursing home deaths. He has had the authority of law. Others did not. Take a listen.
Governor Cuomo, trying to get ahead of this, wrote an op-ed for the New York Daily News, and he wrote in part, quote, "Once again, it is an election year, and once again, MAGA Republicans are looking to blame everyone else for the COVID debacle," unquote. His larger argument in this op-ed is that Donald Trump mishandled COVID, and your subcommittee, your select committee, doesn't look into what Mr. Trump did.
Well, I will tell you that as chair of this subcommittee, I have not, and neither has my staff, mentioned political party one time. But what we are doing is an after-action review of everything that took place. Look, there's things that we passed in Congress that I voted for that in retrospect, when I look back, I would have wanted to change or maybe not have voted for it. That's what this is, an after-action review, lessons learned, what was done, what worked, what didn't work. But you have to take responsibility for things. And you can't just make up and say, well, they should have followed the guidelines of the CDC. No, those were guidelines. Those weren't the law. Your directive was law. We'll be focusing on this directive. I know he's going to try and go in a lot of different directions. And these are all directions of things we're looking at from both administrations and across states and their administrations. We have to learn from this and try and do better. But you have to take responsibility. responsibility for what you did, and he says he knew nothing about this order. And you can see from the transcript the deflection on all of this. I don't know who's in charge in New York or who was in charge in New York when he was governor. Apparently no one, because he's passed this along to a lot of other people. And the very fact that you would blame the people in the nursing homes, your directive did not mention CDC or CMS guidelines one time in any way, shape, or form, and yet he's saying they should have used those guidelines and superseded what I put out. His had the authority of law, the other did not.
I like to blame MAGA Republicans for my own failures in sentencing people to their deaths in nursing homes. I like to do this. It makes me feel good inside.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Cuomo's the worst, man. He really is the worst. But all these Democrats did these the nursing homes. That's their legacy, along with lockdowns and all the destruction they've done to our children. And he's just amazing. Hey, have you heard of Anthony Harris? He is a resident of Ohio. So you know the story of the Haitian migrants eating pets, right? And this is a whole thing. And now it's become a big conspiracy theory that even Joe Scarborough doesn't like the fact that people are out there saying that that Haitians are eating pets. Did you know this? Yeah, Joe Scarborough is very upset by this. The idea that anybody is actually thinking that Haitians would go out there and eat. Look, I'm not going to judge people if they eat pets. All right, they might start a global pandemic, but it's probably better than a bat burger. But it's your culture. If you eat a bunny or whatever else it is, that's what you do. You know what I mean? If that's your culture, that's what it is. Eat cats, eat cats. I saw a great meme today of, remember Alf, the alien, the fun little lovable alien? Alf would eat cats, and they said, do you remember the time when an illegal immigrant, or I'm sorry, when an illegal alien eating cats was just the stuff of fiction? It's hysterical. But it's true, and it's happening, and of course the left mocks it. About Haitian immigrants eating cats. That can't be happening. That can't be possible. Well, here's this Springfield City Commission. This resident there, Anthony Harris, comes out and speaks. This is from End Wokeness, and Elon Musk retweeted it.
I think it's like kind of odd that like a guy like me has to come out from doing what I do on a daily basis to have fun, because I see what's going on in these streets, and I see you guys just sitting up there in them comfy chairs and suits, and like, and I'm getting out here every day, and I'm broadcasting this, and you guys are just sitting up there in suits. Like, I really challenge you guys to get out here and do something. These Haitians are running into trash cans. They're running into buildings. They're running into, they flipping cars in the middle of the street. And I don't know how, like, y'all can be comfortable with this. Like, I don't know, like, who's getting paid from this. I honestly feel like someone's getting paid from it in the background. You got a bunch of people on a bus getting dropped off at a gas station to come down here. I know a single mom that FaceTimed me tonight. FaceTime me this morning at the welfare office that really need something. And it's nothing but immigrants over there. And I don't even want to, like, seem like I'm coming down on the immigrants, because it's the people that's bringing them down here. Because wherever they're at, that's what they're used to, bro. They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them and eating them. Like, y'all get the Highway State Patrol down here every week, and then y'all get, like, a task force for the Highway State Patrol. And they look for guns, and they look for dope, and this and that, and the fourth. That same people that y'all got riding up and down Limestone doing U-turns, pulling people over for blinkers, and pulling people over for, like, going left to center and, like, a couple miles over. Like, y'all can take them same people, the Highway State Patrol, and you can take them in every single one of their Silver Chargers and Dodge Durangos, and y'all can take them to Sunset, and y'all can park them right over there, and y'all can teach people how to drive, since the Highway State Patrol knows so much how to buy. Know so much about traffic laws and know what has
to come out. I mean, they're ripping ducks' heads off. They're ripping ducks' heads off.
From doing what I do on a daily basis.
Come on. They're ripping ducks' heads off and eating them. J.D. Vance brought this up. J.D. Vance brought this issue up, that of what these Haitian migrants were doing in Ohio. And, you know, he's getting mocked from Morning Joe over it. But this is he said, months ago, I raised the issue of Haitian illegal immigrants draining social services and generally causing chaos all over Springfield, Ohio. Reports now show that people have had their pets abducted and eaten by people who shouldn't be in this country. Where is our border zone?
Chairman Brown, I'd like to ask unanimous consent to submit a letter for the record from the city of Springfield and our state, the southwestern part of our state, which I think highlights a very real example of this particular concern straight from the horse's mouth. Itself. And now this letter, I want to quote from it. Springfield has seen a surge in population through immigration that has significantly impacted our ability as a community to produce enough housing opportunities for all. Springfield's Haitian population has increased 15 to 20,000 over the last 4 years in a community of under 60,000 previous residents, putting a significant strain on our resources and ability to provide ample housing for all of our residents. And end quote there. And Mike,
without objection. So
thank you. In my conversations with folks in Springfield, it's not just housing. They're trying to build 5,000 new housing units, which is a very Herculean task in a town of about 55,000 people. But it's also hospital services, it's school services. There's a whole host of ways in which this immigration problem, I think, is having very real human consequences.
There's a lot of human consequences. So I guess, you know, when Morning Joe mocks this, you got to wonder to yourself, do these people just not care?
You know, it used to be, I think in 2018, 2020, the lie about immigrants and illegal immigrants, Katty, was they were bringing leprosy to America, which, of course, they were not. Now it is that they are eating your dogs.
Cats.
They are coming to America and eating your cats.
Yeah, don't live in Ohio with a cat because it might get eaten, obviously. Yeah. By
Little Mittens is going to be
It's
dinner.
Sweeping the country. It's a terrible, terrible thing. This is absolutely ridiculous and scraping the bottom of the barrel. And J.D. Vance has been, you know, amplifying this, and it's being amplified. Wow. Apparently, this has gone crazy on the kind of right-wing social media sites. And it's the...
How do you know? But first of all, how do they know that it's just crazy and it's not real? How do they know this is my question. They're saying this, but how do they know? We used to check immigrants for lice. Is it, what if people come here and they're eating... I mean, is it that you just can't... So the guy, Anthony Harris, and other people, they're just lying? So residents are just lying? They're all lying about this? Huh? Springfield, Ohio residents, air grievances about the wave of Haitian immigrants. Who is getting paid to bring them over here? Who's
Anthony
getting paid?
Harris?
This is from the meeting here. I have a little bit of this.
All right. I'm 28 years old, and I'm a social media influencer. And
that's Anthony Harris.
Stuff. I do YouTube.
That's the guy. He's a guy in his mid-20s. Why would he go up there and lie about this? What benefit is it to him to lie? Explain that to me. What benefit is him to lie about this? And as 20,000 non-citizens, okay, non-citizens destroy a town in Ohio and reportedly kill any people's pets, our pets' heads are falling off. Here's Border Czar Kamala Harris urging, bragging about allowing them to flood our country.
That is why, also, starting with our administration, we gave TPS, temporary protected status, to Haitian migrants, 55,000. And then more recently, we extended temporary protected status to over 100,000 Haitian migrants for that very reason, that they need support, they need protection. That is why, also,
that is why,
starting with our administration, we gave TPS, temporary protected status.
Mm-hmm. That's why. So she's bragging about it. There you go. She's bragging about it.
Oh, that's it. I've had it with this dump. We got no food. We got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Okay, just calm down.
Yeah, calm down. All right.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, before I get out of here and throw it over to the great one, Mark Levin, and get ready to watch the debate, I'm excited. Are you excited? We're excited. A couple other things I wanted to mention to you. So I talked about the LoveGov earlier, but, you know, since I mentioned that, there's some more clips coming out of Andrew Cuomo and his disastrous appearance today before the House of Representatives. We'll have some more on this for you tomorrow, but he got crucified by a number of people today, and good. It couldn't happen to a better guy. The nursing home killer. So this is how the show works. You know, sometimes we're in the middle of something and then all of a sudden clips start getting posted, but we can't just go to them right away. But before I do that, I want to mention Speaker Mike Johnson talking to Jake Tapper about this bill today, non-citizens to vote. You know, it's already against the law. And I played you earlier Mary Gay Scanlon, who was going on and on about how this is just racist and fear-mongering and everything else and blah, blah, blah. Here's Speaker Mike Johnson with Jake Tapper about the importance of the SAVE Act to ensure that only American citizens can vote.
If you just have a small percentage of the 10 million plus, I think the number is 16 million illegal aliens who have come across the border since Biden and Harris opened that border wide, if just a small percentage of them participate, we have serious chaos in the election. So this is a simple matter that should be done in a bipartisan manner, but the Democrats here don't want to do it. In fact, 198 House Democrats already voted against the SAVE Act, and they have no explanation as to why.
Well, I think they think that it's already against the law for undocumented immigrants, for non-citizens to vote, and they think that this is creating an election issue where there really is not any evidence of widespread undocumented immigrants voting. But let me turn to this last issue.
Well, wait, Jake, let me just get your thoughts
on this. Okay.
Look, I was just going to say this. It is illegal for underage persons to buy alcohol, right? But we don't let them come to the liquor store and check a box and say, I'm over 21. We ask for identification. We require ID for all sorts of transactions in society. Voting is a sacred thing. Why would we not require proof of citizenship? It doesn't matter that you have a statute that says it's illegal for non-citizens to vote. If you're not enforcing it, it has no import. And that's all we're saying. This is common sense. The American people demand it and deserve it, and we're going to fight for it.
I mean, it makes sense to me. Doesn't it make sense to you? It sounds perfectly reasonable. Perfectly reasonable. But, of course, Democrats do not want to make it harder to cheat. They don't want to make it harder to cheat. That's the thing, because they know the people who cheat are voting for Democrats. It's not that hard. But it is hard for the Penguin, the Waddler, Jerry Nadler. He's got a problem with this, calling it dangerous. Dangerous to make sure that people voting in elections are actually American citizens. That's dangerous?
Mr. Chairman, Republicans rely on the false premise that there is widespread non-citizen voting in order to advance dangerous legislation like the SAVE Act and other burdensome, unnecessary measures requiring proof of citizenship to vote in federal elections. In fact, it is measures like the SAVE Act that represent a true threat to the right of American citizens to vote. Mr. Chairman, Republicans rely on the false premise that there is widespread non-citizen voting in order to advance dangerous legislation like the SAVE Act and other burdensome...
Dangerous legislation like the SAVE Act. Dangerous. How is it dangerous? And then you have this idiot, Mary Gay Scanlon, who represents Pennsylvania, talking about non-citizen voting.
Non-citizen voting is extremely rare, and the so-called evidence that our colleagues and their witnesses cite has been repeatedly discredited.
So then what are you worried about? I guess that would be the question I'd ask back. What are you worried about then? If it's so rare, then what are you worried about? Ah, but it's probably not going to be that rare, huh? Probably not going to be that rare. I'm just saying. Apparently, Kamala Harris will have a miniature podium during tonight's debate on ABC against Donald Trump. The move was requested by Harris's team, who is afraid she will look tiny compared to Trump. The smaller podium will make it so the candidates look the same size during the televised split screen. As noted by Axios, Harris and Trump have one of the largest height differences among presidential nominees in United States history. Trump is 6'3", while Harris is 5'4". One Trump campaign official said the smaller podium looks like the kids' table at Thanksgiving. I hope that's real. That's amazing. I'm not gonna be able to look at anything but that podium all night. You know what I mean? I'm going to be staring at that the entire time. Marjorie Taylor Greene went after the Love Gov, Andrew Cuomo, the nursing home killer. Oof. She savaged him. Savaged him today in the House hearing.
And then you talked about Trump sending the ship, the comfort ship. Mind you that the comfort ship was sent to New York on March 30th of 2020. That was just a few days after you signed the directive to put COVID-19 patients into nursing homes on March 25th, which led to murdering people's parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents. Yes, murdering them. Today you said, and I'll quote you, You said that high deaths in nursing homes is a conspiracy theory. Would you like to turn to the people here in this room today whose mothers died and their fathers died in these nursing homes and call them conspiracy theorists? Do you have the audacity to do that, Mr. Cuomo?
I never said that, Congressman.
You said that today. You're under oath.
I never said that.
There's video of all of your words today.
I never said
You can be fact-checked. We'll do that when this is over.
Yeah.
You also blamed staff for spreading COVID in nursing homes, not COVID patients. You blamed the staff. But yet on March 25th, I didn't ask you a question. I'm talking to you. On March 25th, you signed a directive to put COVID-19 patients into nursing homes. On March 30th, President Trump sent the comfort ship, and you did not put COVID patients in the comfort ship. You didn't send them to the Javis Medical Center that President Trump had built, which was a field hospital. You didn't send them there. You put them in nursing homes, which is murder. That's murder. Murdering people. I'm saying that right now, and I'm also saying what a lot of people believe what your actions did.
Wow. She just murdered Cuomo. She just murdered Cuomo right then and there. By the way, you know, Kamala Harris is trying to run as a change candidate. And NBC asked the question to the White House, how do you explain mentioning Vice President Kamala Harris more since President Biden stepped aside in the election? And this is a good point. And, you know, I have this theory deep down inside that Joe Biden wants to see her lose. I really do. I think they want to see her lose because they hate her. And I think that's kind of what's going on here.
And in other White House communications since July 21st, you reference the vice president more. We hear now more Biden-Harris administration, when if we look back, it would have been much more focused on just the president. So as you do that, how do you describe the importance of, you know, in this official way, talking about her and linking her to the accomplishments?
Look, I think it is important for Americans to know that the vice president has played a very big role in the success of this administration over the
last you're year. Torpedoing her.
And we have said this before, even before July 21st, how much
this is the fembot. You're torpedoing Kamala Harris. You're not going to let her be the change candidate, are you? No. You're going to keep linking her. You're going to keep linking her to this failed administration. Oh, I love it. I love it. But don't worry about things like minutiae and policy, right, John Fetterperson? Or the minutiae of how to go after billionaires.
You know, you talked about predictability, and I think one of the questions that we've had at this table for the last several weeks, actually, since the vice president has been the nominee,
Gina Raimondo,
is what the predictability is going to be as it relates to the details of her programs, which I think are still amorphous, if you will, in terms of what they really are. I think we don't really know. We had a debate last week a little bit with Mark Cuban, who's been having some back channel conversations with the Harris campaign. He's hearing certain things. We haven't heard all of them publicly. How much detail on all of these plans do you believe, and whether it's from the former president or whether it's from Harris,
do you
think that the American people deserve?
Let's get details
before they go to the polls, recognizing, by the way, that it's not just going to the polls physically in November. In some states, you're able to mail in now effectively, and so you would want the voters to know as much as humanly possible.
Give us details.
Yes, here's what I think is most important. Like, at the end of the day, I think Kamala Harris is being incredibly honest. She knows she has to work with Congress. You know, Trump can throw out whatever he says about this tax policy, that tax policy. You actually have to get in there and work with Congress.
Oh.
You know, the minutiae. I don't think the American public are really interested in the minutiae of, you know, the mechanism of how she'll increase taxes on billionaires. Like, here's the important point, which is what
I would assume. There's not that many billionaires in the world. I recognize that.
This is Andrew Ross Sorkin. He's actually good for him. CNBC. I mean, you get shocked every day by stuff, right? Yeah, you know, the minutiae, the details don't really matter all that much. We're just going to throw platitudes out there. It's like this other spokesperson came out, Harris Walt spokesperson, and said, you know, we don't have time to think about why certain things happened over the last few years. We don't have time to think about that.
She's been part of the Biden administration. I mean, she has been part of the Democrats have been in control of the country for the last three going on 4 years.
Right.
And you are still seeing this in the polling. I mean, these working class voters are telling us right now that more of them are with Donald Trump than Kamala Harris.
Right.
Why? What is it about what you guys have been doing for the last three plus years that explains that?
Well, I think, again, we're trying to talk to the voters and explain this message. We've got 60 days until the election. We don't have time to sit around and think about why over the last few years certain things may have happened or may not have happened. We've got to go win an election. And the vice president's doing that by talking about her economic vision. And it's really different.
We don't have to talk about why things happened over the last several years. Are you really? You don't have time for that? We see that's called owning your record and owning your policies. They so desperately wish they had a different candidate. I'm telling you the truth right now. This is a problem for them. I've been telling you this for how long? Kamala Harris was always the problem. Because how can you run as an outsider if you're literally in the administration? You can't. Bottom line is you can't. Look, we're almost 2 hours from the debate, and the change candidate is Donald Trump. And she is going to own this administration, and Trump's going to make her own that administration. Period. Boom. We don't have time to get into details. We don't have time for policies and minutiae. And well, we certainly don't have time for owning the mistakes of the past few years. See, and the problem for them is that you're not just running against a guy offering up ideas. You're running against a guy who did the job for 4 years and people like the job he did. And that's why they are so royally screwed going into this debate, in my opinion. All right, have a great rest of your night. Enjoy the debate. Back with tomorrow with lots of analysis. Keep the conversation going. I want to hear from you on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Quarterback pick.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.